Good morning. Welcome back to your hometown radio station, AM 1360 KOHU. It is time for the Odds and Ends program here on a Wednesday morning. We welcome you in, and the day before Thanksgiving, we hope that everything is coming together for you as you get ready to celebrate with family and friends. I will start off the show by saying if you don't have family and friends in the area, the community fellowship dinner is at Hermiston High School. Free dinner. They're going to be noon to 3 for the in-person meal. It's a slight change to the hours this year, so noon to 3 for the community fellowship dinner. We also welcome you if you're joining us online. Go Hermiston.com and Mixler.com/1360KOHU. That's our web stream powered by Blue Mountain Networks, bringing you today's program. Welcoming into the studio, the CEO of the Good Shepherd Healthcare System, Art Matheson, is with us. In the interest of full disclosure, we're talking a week earlier as we have to prep for everybody to be out and about and on the way to family and things of that nature. So good morning, Art. Welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And just before I hit record, you looked at your calendar. Oh, wow. It's 4 months.
Almost 4 months.
Almost 4 months as the CEO at Good Shepherd Healthcare System. I want to start there. Explain what that job is.
Oh, gosh. I guess I'd never really thought of answering the question of what that job is. Well, I think the first thing that I look at it, and this is probably stems back to my Army days, is I am one of many leaders of the organization. And so instead of thinking about being in charge, I look at myself as a servant leader that our 850 employees are instead in my charge, and meaning that's my responsibility to lead the organization with guidance and direction from our board, to lead our employees and support them, resource them, so that we can support our mission of making our community as healthy as possible.
And we are talking just a couple of days past Veterans Day. I was wondering, how does 25 years of a military career prepare and translate into running a healthcare system?
Well, I think it transfers very well. I wasn't sure 10 years ago when I was getting out of the Army, going to my first civilian job, what it would be like. I think the Army does a pretty darn good job at growing its leaders. And I think the main thing that it does is it gives you confidence as a leader that if you put your people first, which sometimes is risky in the sense of the resources that you expend on your people, taking care of them, they're going to take care of the mission. And the mission here is taking care of our patients that come through the door every day. Now, why I say it's risky is because whenever you invest in anything and it's not a sure bet, some people have a hard time with that. But what I know, because I've done it many times in my career, is I put my people first. I do my best with the resources I have to take care of them. And it's always paid off. And it's the only right way to go when you're leading an organization.
Art Matheson is with us, CEO of the Good Shepherd Healthcare System, here on the Odds and Ends program on AM 1360 KOHU. I actually rarely prep any questions, but I was here producing when you were on with Caitlin for the Good Health program a couple of months ago. And the follow-up to how does a military career prepare you for running a healthcare system is, how does being the oldest of six boys prepare you to run a healthcare system?
Well, if you've ever read anything about birth order, it's very interesting. And so I have done some reading about birth order. So I am the...
I'm the oldest as well. So tell me some good news.
You're the oldest of how many?
Of just two.
Okay. How old is the second?
5 years younger.
5 years younger. So what I've learned is typically if your second sibling is I can't remember exactly how many years, but 5 years is the adequate separation. Typically, that second sibling will not become the alpha. It's when your second sibling is within a couple years of the oldest. Sometimes the second one becomes the more dominant, the type A. But in this case, and probably in your case, I'm guessing, my case, my brother Randy is 5 years younger than me. And so I am definitely the prototypical oldest type A, lean forward in the foxhole type of personality. And that set me up really well for the Army, which I didn't know at the time. But now looking back, you know, being a type A guy going into the infantry world at Fort Benning, Georgia, certainly set me up. But really, I think for most of us, what really sets the framework is how we're taught by our parents. And I had great parents that expected a lot of me as the oldest, expected me to set the example, to lead from the front by the example that I set for my younger siblings. And so I think that transferred very well to leading in the Army and then to leading organizations in the Army and now at Good Shepherd.
So, Art, as I said, we're a couple of days past Veterans Day. What drew you, what called you to join the military?
Well, I think a couple of things. My father-in-law, Jeff Thurlow, who's a great father-in-law, and I've known him since he was in his mid-30s, and so I've known him for about 33 years now. He was an Army officer, actually graduated from UMaine, where I graduated from, where my son graduated from. So we have three generations of Army officers coming out of University of Maine ROTC. That was the first thing. The second thing is I think the Army at that time did a good job with inspiring young men and women to serve their country. And it was something that looked like something I should do. And then thirdly, I was in love and I wanted to become independent and marry Jenny Matheson, at that time Jenny Thurlow, and that allowed us to get married, and we went out to Fort Lewis, Washington, not far from here, where we started our career in the Army.
So how do you end up in Hermiston?
Well, I've gone over my civilian career from an independent organization, independent hospital as a CEO. And then I went to Maine Health and led a hospital there. And that was a 9-hospital system where Maine Medical Center was our tertiary care hospital, about 600 beds. And then we had a bunch of mid-size and then smaller hospitals. I led one of the smaller hospitals in North Conway, New Hampshire. And it was great. I primarily led that hospital through the pandemic. And as we went through the pandemic, we had some changes in leadership. The individuals that brought me to North Conway left. We had new leaders coming in. And things were still going well, but the organization as a whole, the system was going in a direction differently than what I was interested in doing. Wasn't wrong. It just wasn't right for me. And then a contact of mine who's a recruiter was online, and I saw this position, and I said to him, I sent him a message and said, "Hey, man, what's this all about?" And he said, "Would you be interested in coming to the Pacific Northwest?" And I said, "Well, yes, I would, because although I'm not familiar with this area, I'm pretty familiar with the Pacific Northwest." And so, you know, sometimes things just work out the way they should. And that's how it started. And I came here. I had one of the best interviews I've ever had with our board when they were interviewing me for the job. And I left that interview, and about 20 minutes later, the recruiter called and said the board would like you to come back in a couple weeks. And from that point forward, I was not overconfident, but I felt pretty good that I would probably, fortunately, be the next CEO of the organization.
And that is who is with us, the CEO of Good Shepherd Healthcare System here on the Odds and Ends program on a Wednesday morning. Art Matheson joining us for this morning's conversation. Is there a question that resonates from that first interview that kind of encapsulates what Good Shepherd is and its philosophy?
The question from my board?
When you got asked during that interview process, was there something that kind of really gets to the heart of what they were looking for and what Good Shepherd is?
Well, it was about a two-hour interview, so a lot of good things were asked. But the thing that came to me is one of our board members asked me something about my values. I think they, by looking at my resume, knew that all that I've done in my career was lead portions or portions of acute care hospitals, or have been a CEO of acute care hospital for about 25 years. So they knew that. I think, understandably, they were trying to figure out character. And so a question was asked about my values, and I said, well, these are my values: loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. And the board member said, and you live those. And I said, well, I do my best to live those every day. I'm not perfect, but I certainly try to be. And you could just see everybody on the they're all board members, just kind of have a nice smile on their face, like, okay. I got the feeling that they were thinking, well, that's what we're looking for. And a lot of times in these positions, as you know, experience is good, but it's really about fit. And this community was, I feel, a great fit for me. And I think I'm a really good fit for this community.
At the time when you did the Good Health program with Caitlin, it was pretty early on in the process, and you said you're still feeling things out. Do you have a better handle of not just where the paper clips and the stapler is, but what Good Shepherd is?
I'm still struggling on the paper clips, but I'll with Sherry Lynn helping me at the office, I'll find them. Just kidding, obviously. I think it's still pretty early on. I think last time we talked was about a month, maybe 5 weeks into the job. I talked a little bit about this at our annual meeting at the EOTech last week, which is a great event, and we had a great turnout by a lot of community members. But one thing that I've done is over the last few months, I took a step back on some of our projects. So one of the projects is urgent care going up on 395. It's the vacant lot across from basically where you turn to go to Home Depot. So across the street from that. And it's a great location. I also took a step back on the Life Flight project. So we're going to build basically a hangar on our property, and the Life Flight helicopter, which now bases out of the airport, will base primarily out of Good Shepherd, which is outstanding. But I didn't know what I didn't know. And so I wanted to pause and look at those projects and a few others and really make sure that I was comfortable in the direction that we were going. What I told a couple hundred people at the annual meeting last week is I feel pretty good about both, and so we're moving forward. And what I told the group with some clapping after I said it is urgent care is going on 395, but there will be other things, other services that will be on 395. I'm just not ready yet to put it out to the public because I really haven't communicated it with my team internally. Once I do that, then we'll let folks know. It's nothing secretive. It's just the right way to cascade and communicate information that are affecting the lives of our team and our community. But it's a good thing overall. And then having Life Flight on site at any hospital in America, having air assets, as we say in the Army, saves lives. And so that relationship that we have with Life Flight is is outstanding. It has been outstanding, and it will continue to be, but we're going to take it to another level. When you drive by Good Shepherd and see that aircraft right in front of the hospital, that's pretty meaningful to our mission of helping our community live healthier lives, being healthier, and being as safe as possible when they come to us for the care that they need.
Start in the life flight side. I assume there is some average number of minutes that will be saved. How much time is saved by just having a helicopter? You can ballpark it for, but you know, those minutes mean a lot.
Yeah, where I've learned it is not on the civilian side, but you know, in my early Army years, I was a medical guy on the field side of the Army, so not in a fixed hospital like Good Shepherd, but
sure.
But out in the woods or out in the desert. And we would talk about the golden hour. And so whenever I had, and my question usually was early on in any exercise was, do I have air assets? And when I was told yes, the hair would stand up on my neck, because I knew that we would be able to save lives. We talk about the golden hour. So that's the hour after a soldier, in this case, gets injured, to getting them the care that they need at the right level of care that their injury dictates. And so I hear the helicopter all the time from my house. I live off of Highland, come in and go out. And it's music to my ears to hear those propellers make the noise that they make, because it saves not just minutes, but maybe hours at times versus ground ambulance, wherever it may need to go. And so having that asset regularly available is really, for a lot of rural hospitals, unprecedented. And I was tickled pink when I learned that we already had that nearby after I was offered the position. And now I'm really happy that we're able to continue this relationship. But I would say it's hard to tell. It depends on the patient, what their injury is. But if you were to count the minutes saved throughout 1 year, it would be maybe not even hours, but maybe more than hours, maybe a couple days for an entire year that you save versus having to ground ambulance somebody somewhere.
Art Matheson with us, the CEO of Good Shepherd Healthcare System, here on the Odds and Ends program. The urgent care project has been in the works and in conversation here for months now. Is the idea, as you look at it, is it moving assets from the hospital campus, or is it expanding?
Yeah, great question there, and something that caused me to have to pause to understand that myself and actually be able to answer that question. So it's really, in the case of urgent care, the real question was, for me, do we keep it where it is, which is across the street from the hospital main campus in the building across the street that we own, renovate that space, and then put urgent care back in, or move urgent care as planned up to 395 and have a brand new building there, another great face of the organization on 395 representing the hospital well, something that we can all be proud of. And the decision, those two scenarios were actually pretty close in the viability, their viability. 395 was just a little bit better. And for a couple of different reasons. One is it's a great place to have urgent care. Secondly, having a new building, and which can allow for other services to go in there and make it pretty easy for our patients to be able to get these other services, is another plus. And so it's a combination of that. But really, urgent care is a niche of primary care. And so what we really want to try to do is get as many of our patients that don't have a primary care provider, get a primary care provider. And when your primary care is really busy and your ED is really busy taking care of high acuity sick people, then you have got urgent care as kind of the offshoot, right? To still be there for those that have lower acuity issues, can't get in to see their primary care provider, don't really need the ED, so you go to urgent care. But our focus really should be, as it should be, I believe, everywhere, not just Hermiston, but everywhere, is the focus should be primary care first and foremost, in establishing that relationship, which many of our community members have been with some of our providers for decades, and that's a good thing.
Is there a thing past these? What's the next thing that you look at Good Shepherd as you've got now 4 months and say, we do need to drive in this direction?
There's a couple of things right now that we're trying to do that are short term, and then the long term is still unanswered, but I have ideas, but I don't want to get out in front of my board and my team without making sure that I've got buy-in. But in the short term, right now, for example, we have our oncology practice in a really small place as far as the space that they're in. And so right now we're trying to put them into a temporary space that's more conducive to the demand of oncology care. And so that's right now our number one focus, I would say, to figure that out. And I hope to have that figured out in the next couple of weeks. The other thing that we're planning to do, and this has been planned before me and it's a great idea, is to get more into the occupational medicine part of healthcare. With all the businesses that we have here and in Boardman, we want to meet that occupational health mission in both locations. I think that there's a high demand for that, and we're working on that and having that type of care set in the near future. Time yet to be determined, but that's another focus. And then really, the long-term plan in my mind, and again, I'm just starting to talk about this with our team and with our board, is what do we want to be in 7 to 10 years? You know, look 7 years, 10 years from now, and backwards plan off of that. But I'll give you the 30,000-foot thought process for me is, we want to, as much as possible, provide as many services here that make sense, so our community, our patients, don't have to leave this area to get most of the care that they need to get. Now, we already provide a lot, but I want to provide a lot more. And I think over the 7 to 10 years, we need to figure out now or in the very near future what we'll look like in 7 years, in 10 years. And so in the near future, we'll be doing strategic planning with our leadership, with our board, with other leaders of the hospital to really decide where we want to be. And the thing now, that there's a couple of things that have occurred. We've gone through a pandemic, so things are a lot different than they were pre-pandemic. We have new leadership at the hospital. I have a different vision than the person before me. And then we also have a number of excellent new providers that have come in. For example, our general surgery program and the robotics program with general surgery, with urology, with orthopedics is really something you would never see at a hospital of this size. You'd usually see it at a medical center, a 500-bed facility, for example. And so that's just one example of what I think we can do in many other specialties at Good Shepherd in the future.
7 to 10 years is an interesting timeline because we know there are 1,300-plus homes that have been approved or home sites have been approved in Hermiston, another couple hundred in Umatilla, another couple hundred in Stanfield. In a decade, that could mean an even greater boom to the population. And so it's interesting how you go about exploring what you have to serve,
right,
in the process of not knowing how big. That guaranteed home sites doesn't mean that homes will be built,
right,
in that time period. So it's an interesting,
yeah,
it's an interesting process here to take on.
Yes.
And I hope we can get you back to have that conversation here.
Look forward
down
to
the
it.
Road. We'll let you figure out where the paper clips are, and and then we'll talk to you again in the future.
In the stapler, too.
Yeah, in the stapler, too.
Will do.
Thank you, Art.
Hey, thank you.